Hello and welcome to Season 2, Episode 36 of the Tottenham Way Podcast. It is an El Clasico episode this week, which means it's just me and Dan. Dan, how are you?
Tom, I'm very well.
Are you sure?
Yeah, apart from the arduous cycle to your flat.
Yeah, we are recording in my flat this week, unfortunately. The studio wasn't available. I was very late back from Belgium, and very hungover from Belgium, and in fact still drunk from Belgium. So, unfortunately, we didn't have the studio. But we persevere.
We do have these Belgian chocolates.
We do have some Belgian chocolates.
If you hear a crunching sound, they're kind of like a very posh crunchy.
I didn't really have the podcast in mind when I bought these chocolates because they're not very...
You know they were honeycomb scented.
They were talking to me and they were like, oh, this is this. And you know when you nod along, we had a train to catch as well and I just wanted to get some chocolate and bring it back.
Okay.
And I was just sort of going along with everything.
I think good choice.
Yeah, but if you do hear crunching, then I suppose it could have been worse. If we had the microphone right next to your mouth when we've been eating, that's an unpleasant sound anyway. Nobody likes party mouth. Nobody else likes West Ham United. And
are we doing it?
We are doing it, yeah. We're going to have to speak about it. We should probably say that we obviously appreciate that the last game at White Hart Lane is coming up this Sunday. We are going to preview it, but we're going to do more of a proper preview with the game and it being United. What next steps there are for us as a club going past this season, going to Wembley, New White Hart Lane, or whatever it's going to be called in the end. Next week, we will do a bit of a kind of a memory lane thing where it'll be much more in tune with sort of, you know, our favourite games, favourite goals, all the history, all the memories that we have of the place. So if you do have anything kind of specific that you feel like should be said or any funny stories that you think are personal to you, let us know. It'd be nice to get a few crowdsource opinions and comments for it. And we'll hopefully feature a few on the pod. I think it could be quite good. And I get... The way that I see it is I feel like this season's a bit... And I think this ties in with the West Ham performance a little bit in that I obviously cared because I wanted to put pressure on Chelsea. And I obviously cared because it was away at West Ham. And I think Harry Sherlock last week said that they hadn't had a big statement win yet. And it felt like we kind of gifted it to them a little bit with our performance, but ultimately I kind of feel like the title was never really on. Would have been good to put pressure on it, but it was never really on, and I feel like we finished above Arsenal and that might be it for this season, to the point where
you're only saying that because we lost to West Ham.
Yeah, but I think Chelsea would have beaten Borough anyway, and then their last two games are Watford at home and Sunderland at home. I'm not going
to say really that. I think that's a nice, comforting thing to say, that the Arsenal game was the kind of end of the season and the title was never really on. But West Ham was a big opportunity to put pressure on Chelsea. And I think what I said a few weeks ago on the pod was that when it's kind of within one game, when that points gap is within a game, so between 1 and 3, that's when the pressure's really on, and that's when you never really know what could happen. I think every cross that goes into Chelsea's box could potentially be a goal. Every shot that Courtois having to face could potentially slip through his legs. And I think even though Chelsea would have still had a game in hand, I think it would have been significant to close the gap to 1 point,
would it have been? Yeah, it would have been 1 point.
I think that would have been very significant, even though it was Borough and they are fucking dreadful. So I think there's no point in kind of going over it too much now, but I'm not really on board with that. But I do know what you mean about it. Does feel like now that the season's kind of over in some respects, which I think is quite dangerous, because I hope the players aren't thinking that, because for reasons that I'm sure we'll come on to, I really think it's important that Spurs do not finish this season badly.
Well, we finished last season really badly, and we had the disappointment of not just missing out on the title at the expense of, Chelsea confirming that, and then losing two on the trot, one of them at White Hart Lane, one of them a very winnable game against an already relegated team, and we ended up humiliated. And it definitely felt like there was a bit of a hangover leading into this season with that. And that was...
Well, I think not even just a hangover at the start of the season. I think it's almost hung over the whole season in a way. It's kind of been there a bit like a bad smell. Like, I think Pochettino's often had to field questions about it. You know, what about the end of last season? Is it a mental problem? Was it a physical problem? Whenever his players have looked a bit tired, that's been brought up. Whenever there's been a kind of defeat that might be down to mentality, that's been brought up. And I suppose you don't want to go into next season with another collapse hanging over them.
Mm.
I think they've got a hell of a lot to prove in the last three games. And even though it may feel like there's nothing to play for, and more, you know, there's still second place, because I think City will probably win all their games.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it may feel like that, I think there's actually a lot to play for. And it's to prove their mental strength and to kind of prove their physical strength as well. And
so what happened, what was the problem at West Ham? Because it looked like to me that they played us really well. They played us exactly how we hate to be played in. They pressed quite high. And I think in the end, I was watching it thinking, they can't keep this up for the entire game, apart from the fact that they aren't the fittest of teams, but they haven't been very good, and particularly haven't been very good this season. And I just thought they couldn't possibly hold up that end of their bargain, or their end of the bargain in that sense. Mm. And it just felt as if we might have been in a similar way of what we've done recently, of just waiting and soaking it up and then kind of hitting them in the at the worst possible time for them and deflating them. But apart from a Kane chance in the first half, I don't think we got too close to doing that. So
I think West Ham did do really well. One of the features of that winning run was that Spurs did seem a bit like a many-headed beast. Like, if you managed to subdue Kane, Ali would pop up. If you subdued Ali and Kane, then Son would score.
Mm.
And if you subdued all those three, like Palace did, then Christian Eriksen would score a screamer. But West Ham actually managed to keep them all surprisingly quiet, which I think is no mean feat. It was quite impressive. I hesitate to use the well-worn Harry Redknapp phrase "one of those days," but it did feel a bit like a game where Spurs just didn't really show up.
Yeah.
And I suppose what people will say in response to that is that, you know, champions win those type of games when they're just not at the races. But Spurs have won a few of them this season.
We've done it within the last 2 months.
Yeah, and
Swansea and
Palace, arguably. Yeah, but you can't win them all. And I think it was oddly uncharacteristically bad at the back. As I said, the forward seemed subdued. And without Dembele in midfield, I just don't think it really worked. So in all areas of the pitch, it wasn't really happening. West Ham did really well. And I don't know what to say, really, apart from, they did a number of us.
Yeah. Can we be completely clear, though?
Mm.
This bottling thing, it is purely for other fans to wind you up. And it's annoying.
Yeah.
But it's not worth. It's just not worth your time.
It hasn't really annoyed me at all, because I think as soon as Landini scored that goal, all over Twitter people were saying, let's be clear, Spurs aren't bottlers. So there was almost a kind of counter reaction to it. Before anyone even said, oh, what a bottle job, before Rachel Riley or whoever opened her mouth and said it, like, people were already countering it. So I don't really think that's... I almost think there's been far more people saying, don't call Spurs bottlers, and they're actually people calling Spurs bottlers. But, yeah, obviously
and
not.
For the second season in a row, we're the only team that... I'm reacting to the bottling thing now.
Yeah.
But it is, you've got to take that away. And you, any Spurs fan that does genuinely have this feeling that they're, you know, this Spurs team or any Spurs team is bottlers, is completely ignoring the last 2 years of us. And, yes, we were rubbish in Europe. Well, you pull a face, but I mean...
Well, I think there is an argument to be made that when the pressure's really on, Spurs still struggle to win games. I mean, you
can say that, but then how many... There's so many occasions when that's not been the case.
For instance?
Crystal Palace away, West Ham at home earlier on in the season, 2-1 down with a couple of minutes to play, same at Swansea. You know, these are... The pressure was on...
I suppose Arsenal, yeah, I know, I agree, but I think
there's as many occasions to point at to say that we're doing just fine in that regard. It's a high pressure game, don't get me wrong, but Arsenal was a high pressure game, and it was you can almost swap that aside with the whole last at White Hart Lane thing, and Arsenal aren't very good, but West Ham aren't very good either, and Crystal Palace aren't very good. These games just come up, and it is one of those, it's easier to criticise
the 12th game of an 11 match, or sorry, yeah, the 12th game, if that 12th game is a loss, when you've won 11 beforehand.
Yeah, no, you're actually right.
To and put the pressure on.
That's actually one of the things I was sort of thinking about Spurs this season, or Spurs in the last couple of seasons. The Premier League's really hard, and I think this year, actually, there are a lot of shite teams, more so than the average season, but it's still really hard, and there's the old rhetoric, you don't get an easy game. It's not like, I don't like criticising other leagues, I don't know as much about them, but say in La Liga, there are a couple of places you go, or teams that come to you, and you think, you know, this is a 3-point banker. It doesn't really happen like that in the Premier League. I mean, Spurs drew at Sunderland as a case in point, but I think this Spurs team's actually almost made you forget that games like Bournemouth at home and Watford at home are supposed to be quite hard, because they just made them look so easy. And then I suppose when eventually Spurs lose a game, you know, people have sort of forgotten how tough it can be, and how physically demanding it can be, and how hard it is to beat a well-drilled team like West Ham. And that's what happened last Friday. You know, Spurs played a really well-drilled, a physical, and up for it, a motivated Premier League team.
Mm.
And in any circumstance, that's really fucking hard.
Yeah.
And I think we've almost forgotten that, because we've made it look so easy against teams at West Ham's level over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think that's, and again, just to bring up the Harry Sherlock point, you know, they were looking for a marquee win, and it just so happened that it was us. If they'd have beaten, you can possibly make an argument, had they beaten one of the big six at home prior to us, it maybe wouldn't have had as much pressure on it in a way.
They always want to beat us, don't
they? Of course. And just that's another point, actually. One of the things that people always level at Spurs is this bottlers thing. And one of the things that Spurs fans always level at West Ham is that how it's their cup final.
Yeah.
And you know, you never really believe it either way. And it's as important to Spurs fans as it is to West Ham fans. But they were...
Oh, no, God, no. I mean, that's West Ham's biggest game of the season, right? Where Spurs will always look at Arsenal.
Yeah, but you can't ever
They'll probably always look at Chelsea above West Ham, I'd have thought. Especially now.
But I don't think it... I think if you lose... losing to West Ham hurts as much as losing to Chelsea, I'd say. Because they're so crap.
Yeah, on the way out of the stadium.
They were... And this is what my point was going to be. There were West Ham fans that I know on Facebook and stuff who were... genuinely calling it one of the best results
that they've ever had.
And stuff. And that was what Chelsea did last season after the 2-2. They were calling it, there was a Spurs fan, a Chelsea fan on TalkSport, and I don't, he's probably trolling, but you said it was up there with the Bayern Munich final in 2012 because of how much it meant against Spurs fans.
but as Spurs fans can take great satisfaction from that, because that's what Spurs used to be in like the late 90s or mid 90s. Mm. They used to be the team who at the end of the season had just about beaten relegation, didn't really have anything to play for, and the season was all about just messing up someone else's season. And if you managed it, you'd go absolutely mental.
Mm.
But it's nothing to particularly be proud about. No. I mean, we look back now with kind of disdain on those days, but that's where West Ham are now.
Yeah, fair enough. The
only thing I was going to say is that there is still something missing, though, I think. There is still something missing mentally. And Lloris kind of alluded to after the game. I think he was probably a bit too harsh. But he said he didn't think the effort was there against West Ham, given the magnitude of the occasion, which is what he said before. And I think he kind of sees it as his job to come out and give the players a bollocking after a defeat like that, because Pochettino won't do it.
Mm.
He won't ever throw his players under the bus. And I think maybe Lloris has been tasked with that role of kind of being the elder statesman and saying, oh, I'm really disappointed, blah, 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 blah.
He never overreacts, though, does he, Lloris, really?
Well, I mean, if you have a look at his comments after West Ham, he's possibly overreacted a bit. He said, you know, it's a mental problem. All the teams are tired at this time of year, and you've got to get it in that kind of game. You've got to really get it. And he was sort of suggesting that they didn't grasp the magnitude of the occasion, that maybe the run had made them a bit complacent. It was interesting to hear him say that.
I wouldn't say it's an overreaction, though. I think it's probably a fair assessment, really.
Yeah, I mean, he knows more than we do. But
those
comments and the performance in general, you know, it's 90% there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Still, it's sort of something more.
Hence why you finish second or likely second in a league.
Yeah.
You know, as much as we should make a big deal out of our record at White Hart Lane this season. You know, we go into Sunday with an opportunity to go unbeaten there in, I actually don't know when the last time we did that. It's got to be 60s or 70s or something like that. I have no idea.
That's a good point, actually. I don't know either.
It may not have ever happened. I don't know. Somebody more clued up than us will no doubt tell us. But it should be made a big deal out of. But our away form this season is a little bit of a concern considering the Wembley thing next season. And it's not going to be as easy to win. And you talk about those games against Bournemouth or Watford or teams like that at home that look like they should be tough, and we've made, you know, light work of it, but it is going to be tougher next season because of that.
I mean, how pumped up are those teams going to be to come to Wembley? They don't often get to do it.
No.
It's going to be maybe the biggest away game of a lot of club season.
Equally, though, just on that, people talk about the pressure getting to Spurs at Wembley and how, you know, we tried to make it a home.
But the pressure will be off them, though. You know, if Bournemouth turn up at Wembley, there's no pressure on them to win. They're the underdogs. They're playing one of the best teams in the league. They're away from home. They can just enjoy the occasion, pretend it's a cup semi-final, give everything, be up for it.
You say that, but that might only be the case up until end of October. After that, you know, shit gets serious in the league. If you're Bournemouth and you've got 3 points, you need 3 points, or any team, not any team that needs to go to Wembley and get 3 points to get top four, stay out of the relegation places.
Yeah, but these teams never look at away games at the top six as the places to get points. They'll be targeting the 6-pointers against the other teams in the bottom six. They'll be targeting draws against the mid-table teams, and they'll be targeting home draws.
True.
Against the top six, as Bournemouth did to Spurs. I don't think there'll be teams. This is a bit unfair on Bournemouth, actually, I think, and mid-table. But I don't think there'll be teams coming to Wembley feeling like they have to win. I think it'll be teams coming to Wembley, smaller teams, as is, thinking, great, we get to play at Wembley. Spurs have to win. Let's enjoy it. And it's a bit of a worry.
I think that's doing a bit of a disservice to teams. Like they need to, every team needs to win football games. You know,
yeah.
There's you said it, there's bad teams in the league, and all right, they may not be highlighting, you know, Spurs at Wembley any more than they would have highlighted Spurs at White Hart Lane. But I mean, that surely could play into our favour as well. We've got to learn how to play at this stadium. And surely, we don't know until it all starts, but I think to say that a lot of people have said this, you know, it's going to be their biggest day of the season sort of thing for Watford and Bournemouth and Palace and all this, but I kind of disagree. I think that if there's a danger in these teams thinking that, or there could be a danger in teams thinking that, maybe we're like West Ham, we only need one marquee. If we win our first game at Wembley next season, 60, 70, 80% of the pressure or the crap that would have been written after that is eradicated completely.
I very much agree with that. I think the big problem with the Champions League campaign was a Monaco result in many ways, because and now in hindsight it looks like a cracking result because they're about to play Juve in the semi-final.
Mm. Cracking result.
It kind of does, doesn't
go on
it?
Boys,
see on the feet, we'll take it, you know what I mean? It looks like a much more cracking result, I should say. But I think in the first half Spurs actually started quite well, and the Son had that shot cleared off the line, which is a bit of a crap finish. You should have just wellied into the back of the net. I think you win that first game in the Champions League at Wembley, then everyone forgets about all the other defeats there, which weren't, well, with the exception of one, the League Cup final in 2015, which weren't under Pochettino, which weren't with these players.
Mm.
Everyone forgets about them, and Spurs go into the next game against Leverkusen feeling really confident, and it's not really a talking point. And that the same will be true next year. If Spurs, it might depend on the fixture list. You know?
Yeah.
There's a couple of kind of quite nice looking home games to begin with.
Mm.
People will stop talking about it if they're comfortable wins.
I think it was.
You know it's going to be like Liverpool
and
City or
something. Yeah. But then again, it could again work in our favour. That could be the, the win that we need to prove that we can do it at a big level. It's going to be so tough next season. We all know it's going to be tough. But I think Trunk said it the other day. I don't know if it was a tweet or what, but he said like there could be this sort of lingering feeling, but it could be that it works completely the other way. Like there's so much pressure on it, and so many people being like, "This is going to be so awful. We're really going to struggle." That Poch could have drilled them so hard by then, and all summer to be working on this pitch. They're not idiots, you know, these players, and obviously Pochettino himself. They could work completely the other way. We could go next season and only lose a couple of games at home or something like that. It's difficult to know how we're going to do it. But it isn't White Hart Lane, is it? And we should probably talk about that. I'm not going. And I saw the last game at last North London derby at White Hart Lane, and I saw us win it. And that to me is
I'm happy. You're happy now.
Well, I'm happy. I am genuinely happy enough with that. If you'd have offered me, I think Jim.
If you had the choice, like Jim, yeah, what would you have chosen?
Arsenal, 100%. And that's not with hindsight. I think I said it before the Arsenal game as well that that is what I would do. And I would. Yeah, I'd choose that every day of the week, I think. To watch that game and watch Kane score, you know, what was the winner in the end and the noise and, you know, confirming everything that we thought that we would never see again. You know, all of that, it was perfect. But this could be an equally sort of, what's the word, grand, if you like, occasion. Big team, Man United, you know, so often the biggest team in the whole of the country, coming to White Hart Lane, Mourinho.
It's good that it's Man U, isn't it?
I agree.
You wouldn't have wanted that game to. I'm sorry, Bournemouth, but you wouldn't have wanted it to be a small team.
I also think that this ties in again with the small team pressure off sort of thing. A smaller team could have gone to White Hart Lane, knowing it was the last game at White Hart Lane with the. Palace did it at Liverpool for Gerrard's last game. I know it's not quite the same thing, but that was this huge end of era type ceremony, if you like. And Palace just turned up and spanked them 3-1 because Liverpool totally underestimated them. So, I mean, I think the fact that it's a big team, the fact that we do need another point to secure second, we kind of need to bounce back from this West Ham result. Well, we do need to bounce back from this West Ham result, and we need to send off White Hart Lane properly. Yeah, I think and United have got the European games either side, haven't they? In which that's a basket that Mourinho's put all of their eggs into 100% because they're not getting top four. So maybe this is all tied in perfectly.
Well, I'm not unhappy it's Man U. I think it's good to have a big team. They're the biggest team in the Premier League, so you can't argue with that. I'm not particularly happy that it's Mourinho's Man U. Because he would love it. He would love it.
Yeah.
There's nothing he'd enjoy more than just spoiling a party.
Yeah.
And he'll be confident as well because he's genuinely got Poch's number. And I hate saying that, but
not too sure about that.
I mean, the 5-3, I think, would be the last time Pochettino beat Mourinho. Also the last time, I think, one of Mourinho's teams...
Yeah,
scored a goal away at top six, which is an astonishing stat.
I forgot that he went at the end of that or halfway through the next season, didn't he?
But I don't think Poch hasn't beaten him since, so he does seem to know how to get one over him, and I think he did a job on him at Old Trafford. He really kind of nullified the fullbacks, if I remember, pushed two wingers really high, and Spurs just didn't, kept Kane very quiet, and Spurs just didn't have a lot, and put Pogba on Dembele as well. So it was loads of little tactical tweaks which just left Spurs completely...
It's quite unlikely that those players are going to play, though.
I suppose, but, you know, I'm just sort of demonstrating that he seems to think a lot about how Poch teams play and do stuff to stop them.
He would love to be a villain as well.
He'd love it, and I think he'll be genuinely looking forward to it. It will be interesting to see the team plays, but they might. I think the second leg against Celta Vigo is on Thursday.
Yeah.
So they might be in the Europa League final, which won't be for a couple of weeks. So he might just say to the players, "Look, just do it again on Sunday." You know, there's no reason why he wouldn't do that.
I mean, they didn't show up at Arsenal at the weekend at all. By all accounts, it was a terrible performance.
No, possibly that was, you know, looking ahead to Thursday. If it's already done and they're in the final,
true,
they should be.
But you know, and to look at that as well, that Arsenal would have come to White Hart Lane. They needed a victory, let alone wanting a victory. They probably have as many holes in their team as United have this season.
Mm.
You know, they've got a wise manager, if you like, who knows how to get results on occasion, if you like. They would have come to White Hart Lane as motivated as anyone. And we,
yeah, of course. Well, it is a different Spurs now. The biggest question, I think, that's kind of hanging over Spurs is Pochettino's brand of football sustainable when there's nothing to play for?
Mm.
Or when there's very little to play for? And last season, the answer was unequivocally no. When there's nothing to play for, it's really susceptible because it needs 100% effort. It needs players to do their jobs, and it needs every single player to be working for the team, and then it all clicks and it's unstoppable.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got a couple of players or the majority of the players who have switched off, they're on the beach, whatever, then Newcastle away happens.
Mm.
And I, you know, we're saying we feel like the season's kind of petered out, and I think there probably will be one or two of them that are thinking the same.
Yeah. Just on that, obviously still a lot of rumours about Walker, but would you play him against United?
I don't think I would, no.
I don't think I would either.
He had one of the weirdest individual performances I've seen for a long time against Palace, where I thought he was generally dreadful. Sorry, against West Ham. Where I thought he was generally dreadful, and Palace, in fact.
Yeah, I was going to say, he was actually bang on for Palace as well.
West Ham in particular, I thought he was poor, but probably played three of the best passes in the whole game, if not the three best, which was inside West Ham's fullback on the right flank. I think two were for Eriksen and one was for Son. And from each one, they should have done better.
Mm.
And I think they were amongst Spurs' three best chances, and they all came from Walker. So it was a weird game from him, but he doesn't really look there mentally, does he?
No.
Given how good and just consistent he's been for most of the season, he didn't look there. And I think the one thing you can kind of say about Kyle Walker this year is you've noticed him, but in a good way. You know, in the past, you did tend to occasionally notice him because he'd done something stupid. I'm kind of coming, you know, this is off topic a bit, but I'm sort of coming around to the idea of just letting City have him 40 million.
There's been a lot of questions we've had.
It's Kyle Walker.
Yeah.
Before Pochettino.
I think this is the case for a lot of our players. And let's maybe have just 5 minutes on this, because from front to back, we've had Toby not signing a new deal when apparently everyone under the sun being interested, as they should be. Kyle Walker to City. Rose, about 3-4 months ago, that rumour to City was all over the papers. Well, it was Walker and Rose, wasn't it, as a dual deal to United or City. Eric Dier has been mooted to go to United for 40, 50 million for like the last 3 or 4 months. That's come up to the boil every so often and then gone back down. Eriksen, they're talking about Barcelona suddenly because he's had his fire 6 months. That will die down when he can't string a pass together in September next year. I am joking, I like Eriksen. But, you know, Ali to Real Madrid is mooted as a transfer that's going to happen within the next 3 to 4 years. It's just a matter of when Real Madrid decides to pull the trigger. And Kane, you know, Kane's going to be linked with the best clubs in England and beyond. So all of this is kind of happening at the same time. And it's not so much worrying, but you do have to feel a bit concerned that you take a component out of a Pochettino team, and we do suffer for it a little bit. But Pochettino's made that team and made those individuals work. If you put Walker into that Man City team, as it is now, however much they actually invest in the summer, he's not going to hit the same level as he's hit this season.
I
can't see it. And the same with Dier. I feel like Dier's got a lot more to give as a footballer, and he will develop. But if he goes to United, I don't see how Mourinho's the manager to get it out of him. As good as Mourinho is, but he works with finished articles. And the only player that I can actually point to under Mourinho that's done quite well is Rashford. But even that was out of almost Rooney's so bad you cannot play him. And Ibrahimovic got injured, so let's play him through the middle. And since then, he's kind of blossomed. So he accidentally comes across these good players with potential that he makes better.
Mm.
And I don't think anyone should really be looking at United as a destination from Spurs at the moment, looking at United as a destination, unless Pochettino goes there first.
Yeah, I think, first of all, if Spurs are clever, they can kind of twist all these rumours to their advantage in a way and say, well, look, this is why we're doing this great move, this is why we have to go to Wembley, this is why we're building a new stadium, because until we take that next step, and this is what Pochettino keeps saying, our players will be constantly linked to other clubs.
Mm.
He made a very good point the other week that, you know, Man United just don't get these rumours. I mean, no one's talking about Rashford joining Man City or wherever, because they can afford to pay him whatever he wants, and even though they're the sixth best team in the country, it's kind of understood that they won't lose players, whereas Spurs are, you know, the second or over 2 years the best team in the country. But it's about money and it's about size. So I think you can almost look at it positively and say, well, this is the case, and it seems to be true, but Spurs are doing something about it. On Walker specifically and Dyer, I think, yeah, I don't disagree with that. I think if you forget about how good Kyle Walker's been under Pochettino and in that system, and just remember that it's Kyle Walker. And I mean that in the nicest possible way.
I know.
It is Kyle Walker. And he's really quick. He's a strong guy. His crossing's really improved this year. Is he a 40 million quid fullback? Did you see Dani Alves destroy Monaco the other week?
Mm.
At 33, Dani Alves is a 40 million quid fullback. I'm still not sure Kyle Walker is. And I would obviously prefer Spurs to keep him. But if he's made his mind up that he wants to go and double his money and go to City, then I think let him go.
Yeah,
and you've got to hold your hands up. Buy someone and make him into the next Kyle.
You've got to hold your hands up to some of these as well. You think Kyle Walker's given us 8 years of his career. And I agree, throughout that he has been good, but he's still been Kyle Walker. And it was only really in the last 2 years that he's become...
I mean, his first season and the last... Yeah, and the last 18 months.
Really. And one of the mooted reasons for why he wants to go, or why this supposed disagreement happened with Pochettino, was that he had a disagreement with him about fitness.
Mm.
But there's no... You cannot dispute, or nobody can dispute, the fact that in the last two seasons when he's not played more than twice in a week, he hasn't got injured. He's not actually been injured since that 2014-15 season, when he did play quite a lot of Europa League, and we got to the final of the League Cup, still in the hunt for Europe up until the end of the season. He played a lot of games. He got injured towards the end of the season, and we didn't see him again until the start of last season, whatever that was. The facts are there that actually what Pochettino is doing is prolonging his career. Well, or he's certainly making his career better, because he could have been finished for his injuries by the age of 30, and he could have been playing for, well, he could have Carl Norton'd him. He could have been at Swansea or, you know, one at Bournemouth again, let's say. But it just feels like, I don't know, it's annoying that if that's the reason he can't see it, and if he does go to City, he could genuinely be running to the ground, and they could have given us 40 million for a player that they might end up ruining, let's say. But, you know, he's given us a lot of his career. He's England's number one fullback, international player, top end of the Premier League, 26, 27?
I think he's 27 this About week. 20,
let's say 27.
Yeah, 27 this week.
He could be earning more, and he could be closer to his... He goes back to Sheffield as much as possible. He could be closer to his family. There's so many of these reasons that I do think, you know what? Yeah.
I didn't begrudge him it. I think every Spurs fan is really disappointed with the timing. If it's all true, then he should have just waited a few weeks at the end of the season. But I've never been in that position, and I suppose it is difficult to focus once you know that offer's there, and once you've got your agent or whoever or someone from another club saying, "Oh no, you know, don't play," you know, because if Man City think they're going to get him, then it's not really in their interest for him to play in case he does get injured. Mm. So there's all these different there's these different things going on and people saying different things, but it's a shame. It's a shame he wasn't able to do what Poch said a few weeks ago at a press conference, which was just focus until the end of the season. I think he said that before the Palace game after the Chelsea defeat. He just said focus to the end of the season. Walker, I don't think he's really been able to do that. But I think for all the reasons you just said, and the fitness thing as well. He's going to be 27. He's a player who relies mainly on his athleticism and his pace, and that's going to go in the next few years. So he's probably thinking, this is my last chance to earn the mega bucks. And but who knows? Levy told the trust last week, I think, that the club would only sell players that they want to sell. He's on record saying that, and you know, fair enough. How much does that mean? We don't know, because they can always say, "Oh, we wanted to sell him." But
I suppose if you get an offer high enough, that will make you want to sell, won't it?
Kind of inclined to believe that if Walker does leave, it's because Spurs think it's a good deal, a good footballing deal. You know, you sell a player who Pochettino doesn't believe can do two games in a week, buy someone who Pochettino does believe can do that for less money.
Who do you think wins a trophy sooner? This is a bit of a harsh question because I probably haven't prepped you for this.
Yeah.
Who wins a trophy sooner? Kyle Walker at Man City from the start of next season, or Kyle Walker at Tottenham at the start of next season? In your opinion?
Probably Kyle Walker at Man City.
I agree. I totally agree.
But mainly because of the Wembley thing, I think. I mean, if Spurs was at White Hart Lane next season, I'd have them down as stronger contenders for the title than Pep City, regardless of what City spend. But I do think next season, and we've digressed, this is the most rambling podcast I've done for a long time, but I do think
better than we expected.
Yeah, I do think next season is going to be hard, so I'd just about give it to Kyle Walker.
I do think that, but I do think that you've also got who would prolong his career by 2 years, Pochettino or Guardiola? Probably Pochettino.
The Guardian is all about that kind of red zone monitoring and all that jazz as well. So I wouldn't, if it's true that Walker can't do that, and I think he believes he can, then I don't think Pep's going to take many risks either.
Maybe.
I mean, ultimately, I think it's money. And the thing is, money usually goes kind of hand in hand with something else, doesn't it? Like, if you're pissed off because you're not playing enough, then you'll be a lot more keen to go and double your money, if you know what I mean. Whereas if you're completely happy on the playing side, money would take a back seat.
Money so don't make my world go round.
I'm reaching out
for a higher ground. We are keeping that in because that's going to be one of my favourite moments of this season. Let's get back to the game. We have digressed a lot. We actually, Levy's already said that.
Well, I thought we'd finished the game. Oh, within the Man United game.
Yes. Sorry, yeah. Levy said that they are pretty much tearing the place down within a day of the final whistle going, aren't they?
Yeah. The day after. I'm surprised they're not even doing it.
But why not?
2 hours after.
Well, yeah, true. Yeah, get them on overtime for Sunday hours. I'm kind of fine with that. And I think you've said here that it's a sign of just how tight this deadline is going to be.
I think every single day matters in that project. I think I said it on a pod a while ago, but there was quite a kind of sad incident where some bloke managed to get up on one of the cranes on the construction site and was threatening to jump off it.
I think you've mentioned this.
This happened like early in the season, maybe September time, and it delayed construction for about a day.
Right.
And obviously the club was, I think, more concerned with getting the guy down safely. But that lost day was a problem. And that's how tight the construction schedule is. They've got them working round the clock. And if they can't work on the site for 24 hours, then you know that's the kind of thing that could sort of jeopardise the new stadium being ready.
I mean, that is...
That's how tight
that
is it
tight, is. Tight, isn't it? There's a deadline. I mean... Bad weather, but so we've got this second season option, haven't we, at Wembley, that a lot of people have really picked up on today and yesterday on Twitter.
I think it was kind of widely known, because when the club announced the option to play, the wording was at least one season. So immediately, that suggested there's an option to stay for
another. And it makes sense. Why would we go through all the? Why would we jump over all the hurdles that we've had to jump over to get Wembley in the first place? Why would we do it all again next season? I mean, it's not a case of getting the same paperwork and changing the dates. You know, there's things to consider that was obviously that's why it's been such a delayed decision. It just makes perfect sense. If we go turn around and say no, we're not going to have it. Wembley aren't going to sit there and go. Well, the FA aren't going to sit there and go. Well, you've got to pay for it, or you know, they'll know well in advance whether or not we're going to exercise that option, aren't they? So don't read. Just chill out. Don't read too much into it. I think the fact that
Chelsea's redevelopment of Stamford Bridge
was like 9 years or so. Well,
it's behind where it might have been. I think six months or a year ago, where they thought it was going to be. So there was probably some concern at Tottenham that they might not be able to take Wembley for a second year.
Mm.
And Chelsea's kind of dithering means that they're able to get that option. And it does make good sense. It would be horrendous, wouldn't it, if the stadium just wasn't quite there and they had to stay at Wembley.
Because
then presumably it would be ready for about 6 months.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, oh, we can't play in it.
And I think there was a picture of the stadium. I think that one of the stock images that the club use for when they just send out a general tweet.
Yeah.
And it was of us playing Stoke, which was maybe April, I think. And through the gap in the stadium, you can obviously see the new stadium. And it is sort of halfway there, if you like.
Yeah.
And even in the space of a couple of months, I think we've added maybe another tier, or we've done quite significant work on there. So if we get the timeline right, and if nothing delays it or anything like that, I think we'll be fine. And it's just a case of, at the moment, there's a big fuck-off stadium in the way.
Well, the thing that Levy said to look out for is the roof going on in January or February.
Right.
So I think the Trust asked him, you know, what's an indicator that we're on track? And he said, well, the roof is supposed to be going on in late January.
That's quite strangely open of Levy. You think you'll know we're on track because I tell you we're on track, rather than here's a huge indicator of whether or not we're fucking this up.
Well, they said White Hart Lane demolition will take 3 months, so what are we in May now?
Yeah. So by the start of next season.
Yeah, by the start of next season, it won't be there.
Mm. Yeah, that's
that would be weird.
Very odd. It'd
just be a massive building site.
Yeah, very strange.
Just with a half a stadium.
Yeah. Well, they're giving away, the pitch is being given away in key rings, isn't it?
Is that right?
Yeah, blades of grass, which doesn't actually have to be White Hart Lane, does it?
What, are you suggesting the club are going to
deceive
supporters?
I'm suggesting it could happen and nobody would know any different. We've got the parade thing after the game. I haven't seen anything about this, or other than, you know, the general talk of it actually happening. But do we know any plans, or is it a surprise?
I think it's a surprise.
Oh, what could go wrong?
Yeah, I reckon it's going to be Adele.
Yeah.
I put this to the club and they laughed it off, but I reckon it will be.
It's going to be that Chaz and Dave are going. They are attending.
David going,
yeah, they've. I think it was Dave on Twitter confirmed that the both of them would be in attendance, but they didn't say anything about performing or anything. If they're there, they'll be taken around the pitch, won't they? 100%. What are you actually expecting? Because I think we've discussed this before.
I think it's top secret, so I don't really know. I haven't really tried to find out either. I think someone said a long time ago on Twitter that it would be nice if the club just kind of let the fans have that. Or maybe it was you that said this.
I think I said it and you laughed at me.
Oh, I did.
Yeah. I said, turn the lights off. I thought it was going to be dark.
I did find that a bit laughable. No,
I think that'd be quite nice.
I think there'll be a Legends Parade, so we kind of know a few people that are going. I think it will be sort of fairly familiar faces. I don't think you have to guess.
No.
Too much.
Hod. Yeah.
Yeah, Hod, Aussie, Ricky.
Yeah.
I think Big Martin Yarl's going to be there.
Yes.
Gazza, sadly not. He's confirmed he's not going to go. Sort of focus on his health.
Yeah, fair enough. Ginola.
Sol Campbell not invited. I don't know about Ginola, actually. That's an interesting one, because I don't know how his health is.
Can we talk about, not too much, but we can laugh about Sol Campbell actually having the gall to release some sort of statement saying, or just confirm.
No, he hasn't.
Was it confirmed?
He hasn't, to be fair. His agent was on TalkSport.
Right.
And said, I think Sol should be invited.
And it's, he doesn't though, does he? He doesn't think that. He's just trying to get Sol Campbell's name back in the press. Like he's been trying to do for the last 5 years. I appreciate you may not say too much on this because you've got a job. I can give a fuck. The guy wants, he's desperate for a bit of attention. He's told his agent to do this. A, he's deluded enough.
I'm not going to comment on that. Just because...
You can just listen.
Yeah, okay, fine.
He's either deluded enough to genuinely think it, or he's trying to drum up some interest in himself, which is the only thing he's ever really given a shit about. That's the take on it. There's no option C in that. He does not genuinely believe it unless he is completely deluded on what we're actually doing. Why would you think that you can't... Oh, he doesn't think it. I'm just getting away with myself, sorry. The two ones that did surprise me a little bit, Sherwood and Redknapp, apparently not invited.
Harry's not invited.
Sherwood, I understood, is not invited, and Harry was a bit more grey. It wasn't quite 100% either way.
I reckon Harry will be there.
I'm thinking of someone else. AVB, sorry. AVB wasn't invited. Now, him and Levy did not get on, did they?
No.
Do you think it's a concern of the club about the reception that certain people would get, and maybe a recognition that the club and certain individuals didn't particularly get on enough to sort of warrant, no matter what achievements they may have had? I mean, AVB got, you know, record point total.
The problem is with AVB, his one achievement is kind of redundant now, isn't it? Because it's been beaten, he's just sort of been airbrushed out of history by Pochettino. I mean, I think I'm a bit kind of nonplussed by AVB not coming.
Mm.
I mean, I quite liked him.
Reason enough not to invite him. It seems a bit harsh.
The club isn't inviting every former player.
No.
Do you know what I mean? It's not like everyone who's played for us, he's still alive, is going to be there. It's only people that have significantly contributed toward the club And so I think you can make a case for... You could probably make a case for AVB not being there, but I think we had a good season under him, so it's a bit of a shame, but...
You know, he's still a manager, and he didn't do anything... I can almost understand Redknapp in a way, the want away for the last 6 months, and the...
Redknapp was... You know, before Pochettino, Redknapp was one of the best times of the kind of...
I'm trying to say is that I can understand if you don't invite AVB, I could see the same reasons for not inviting Redknapp in that him and Levy didn't get on. But it's not about Levy, I suppose, is it?
I don't think Redknapp and Levy had a big problem with each other.
I think they were each other's worst nightmare.
Do you reckon?
Absolutely.
I think there's this perception of Levy that he doesn't get on with people. I don't think it's that true.
But I think you can tell that his working relationship and personal relationship with Pochettino worked because Pochettino doesn't ask. I can't imagine Pochettino banging down the door asking for 18 million for Kenwyn Jones.
But I think Levy's, he's got, there's a perception of him as this kind of cold, hard businessman who is maybe tremendously impersonal. But I don't think he's like that. I think he's quite a warm person, and I think he's good with people as well.
Mm.
I think he's quite a good people person. He's just hard negotiator.
Yeah, he doesn't please other chairmen, which is what you don't want your chairman to do.
I can actually imagine him and Harry getting on quite well, but when it came down to it, Harry fucking around the England job and then playing silly buggers over his contract, yeah, I can understand why Levy wouldn't stand for that from a kind of business perspective, but I reckon there's probably a certain amount of mutual respect in that relationship, but this is...
We've digressed. It's
all speculation.
It would be amazing if Redknapp just brought Rosie on and walks around the pitch, just the whole length of the pitch. She got her own song in that Newcastle game after...
Did she?
Do you remember when Redknapp...
I don't remember that. I was there for that game, but...
The 5-1, or 5-0.
That was the we want you to stay, Harry,
yeah,
isn't it?
Rosie 47 will pay all your tax.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I missed that. It would be not. There'll be something, won't there? I think it could be Adele or someone. But
there's a question here from Daceman15 at THFC Memory Man. The club are going to get 5 White Hart Lane villains to be put in the stocks and have rotten food at them. Who are the 5?
Well, like
Campbell,
panto villains or actual villains?
If it's actual villains, no. Let's say panto villains.
Okay, because yeah, it could get nasty.
Yeah. Campbell, of course.
He's an actual villain, not a panto. Just
He's both.
Okay.
He deserves both. Wilshere.
Yeah.
John Terry.
Yeah.
Wenger? Or is that just be a bit sad now, wouldn't it? Just throwing fruit at an old person who's failing in his job. When you boil it down to that, it's quite a sad state of affairs, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Quite a tricky one, really, isn't it? Abramovich.
Yeah, he'd be up there. Piers Morgan?
Yeah, go on, he'd eat it, though, wouldn't he, I suppose?
He'd like the publicity, don't give it to him.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll do. Wilshere, Campbell, Terry, Abramovich, and Piers Morgan. Quite like it. He also asked who froze
the food. Just leave them in the stadium when the demolition starts.
Yeah. Yeah. Put them in a time capsule, which that's another one we haven't mentioned actually.
Oh, yeah.
The
being made by Archway Steel.
How do you feel about that? And I don't expect you to have strong feelings either way.
Oh, yeah, I don't have strong feelings either way. But I think fucking
it's
hilarious.
I think it's quite a nice gesture. I don't think they're taking the piss. I think
I don't think they're taking the piss. I think it's a really nice gesture of goodwill from the club. And
discount.
But I think again, this just sort of backs up what I was just saying about Levy. I mean, if he was this, like, fucking incredible arsehole who no one wanted to do business with, you know, I don't think Archway would be accepting that. But I think there was probably... I think the club probably dealt with that situation really, really professionally. And I think, above all, he is professional in the way he does business. And I imagine he was quite personable throughout the whole thing. So even though Spurs won and Archway had to move and there was that mysterious fire and it was all just really, really dodgy, they're kind of still have a relationship with the club.
Yeah.
And they were apparently Spurs fans.
Thought they were Arsenal fans, but that may just be one of those.
I think they were Spurs rumours fans,
that ended up going round because.
I mean, it was certainly a weird situation, but I think it's a nice touch. Yeah,
feels like a long time ago. All of that now, when there was talk of, you know, the purchase orders and the compulsory buyout and stuff like that, and that was the only thing that was holding us back. And then there was the fire, and then it was confirmed, and it was confirmed, and there was that initial real excitement, wasn't there? Of We're not really moving anywhere. We're building a new stadium in the exact same place as last time. It's going to cost us a lot less than it would have done previously. All of these things that came out, and it was exciting to think, oh my God, in 2 years, it's going to happen. It's going to be there and it's going to be a reality. And obviously over time, it's become more and more apparent that White Hart Lane is very special to everyone who's ever been. And particularly now we've gone through the whole season, had such a good season and could possibly end it unbeaten. We've joked about it, but tearing it down does just seem so hilariously Spurs now to be make it a fortress and we're ripping the goal down. But it's we'll obviously talk about it a little bit more next week, but it is going to be quite sad, isn't it? And I really hope Sky don't get their horrible teeth into it and make it something that it doesn't need to be, like they made out of West Ham, although West Ham made it something they didn't need it to be, I guess.
Yeah, I'd back the club to do something a lot classier than West Ham. But then there's going to be like taxis on the pitch or anything. In fact, they've confirmed no vehicles involved.
Someone asked,
are there any vehicles involved? No. It is going to be sad. And I haven't got confirmation yet, but you know, normally, as I've said 1,000 times before, I take off my fan hat completely and I just try and do my job when I go to Spurs. But the game will be finished because I think there's a 30 minute gap between the final whistle and the ceremony starting. So I should be able to kind of relax and just sort of enjoy it, really.
Take some pictures.
Why not? And I think it will be a sad occasion. And yeah, we'll touch on it next week. I don't think they should turn off all the lights because it probably will still be light.
It'll still be light.
But I do think it would be nice if the legends are out there. Paul Coit or whatever it's called. That's the one. Speaks to them, does the emceeing, but then it's almost just left to the fans to chant and, you know, sing at the legends and enjoy it, really, and just sort of say goodbye.
Not advocating this for a minute, but I'm just going to make a prediction. Last minute winner, pitch invasion. That's what I think is going to happen.
Oh, imagine what I could charge in from the press box.
Yeah, unnoticed. Yeah. Well and truly taking your fan hat off. Yeah.
Yeah, why not? Knows? I'm up for it.
Oh, you, all right, yeah. Okay. I expect to see you on Sky if we if it does happen. Right, okay, let's wrap this up. We, like I say, next week we'll do a bit more of a really nice sort of memory lane stuff. A bit more depth about the history of it. We've got some ideas of what we're going to do with it, and it will be, yeah, quite a nice send-off, hopefully. If you are going, enjoy the game. Take as many memories as you can, because, yeah, we're going to have to start building some new ones in a year or so. Thank you very much for downloading. Dan, see you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yes.
See you then.
You're welcome.
I think I'm going to say thanks.
Well, this has ended as it began. Yeah. Thanks for joining us. Bye.
Cheers.